Will you pray with and for me, please? Gracious and almighty God, take these moments together as we gather here in worship to transform our lives into the more likeness of what your Son Jesus Christ would be. Take these words and plant them in our hearts. May the seed there grow into likeness that can be grown into your presence. We give you praise and honor for this day. And all God's people said, Amen. All our days, I think, are filled with temptations. The passage this morning that was read is from the Mark's account of this story. And I've asked, when I talked to Jonathan, about using the Luke translation because it gives a little more food to digest. But we've just been through the story of Jesus' baptism and the power which that came. When Jesus came up out of baptism and the dove descended on him, and that powerful time in which when Jesus came out of the baptism and was now entering into a time of the wilderness, the 40 days in the wilderness. I think these days of ours are filled with temptations. The task somewhat almost always is to take the easier way. Erlene and I like Southern gospel music. We're probably a little bit too conservative for Presbyterians, but we like the Southern gospel music. And one of our favorite comedians on that is Mark Lowry. Mark Lowry is also the one who wrote the song, Mary Did You Know, Mark and Bud Green. Mark says he's at that age now where in the morning when he gets ready to put his shoes on, he sits in the chair and he has to decide, do I want to breathe or tie my shoes? Well, that's not so funny anymore. This morning, I sat in my chair and I decided, now, Bob, do you want to tie your shoes or do you want to put on that pair of step-ins that your oldest son gave you for Christmas? They're pretty cool. You just step in them and step out of them. I took the easy way. We always faced with that problem. I think, shall I read the latest book or shall I watch television? This morning, I had the decision to make. I try to walk a mile. I'd say 5 out of 7 mornings I get the mile in. But this morning it was cold and I was getting ready for trying to prepare for worship. And so I had to decide, do I go for my walk this morning or do I stay here where it's warm? The chair was very nice. We've tempted these decisions all the time, I think, to different kinds of decisions. Shall I talk out this conflict with my wife or husband or walk away and hope he or she does it? We walk away easy and hope and for the problems in the past. We face hundreds of such challenges each day in which the choice is not between what's good and evil, rather between what's harder and what's easier. The temptation we always strong to take the easier way. And that's what I succumbed to that temptation twice already this morning. But is this really so serious? These seem like insignificant temptations. What's the concern with these kind of temptations? Well, a theologian wrote like this, the tempter always operates in disguise. He hides behind a mask of harmless, indeed pious benevolences. All temptations in life begin in sugared form. The people never know the devil's there, even though he is with them by the throat. The harmless temptations are the most dangerous kind. And I think, from my perspective, our country has fallen into that very great temptation already. We have been tempted by sugarcoating things to think it's okay to carry a gun. It's okay not only carry a gun, but to carry an AK-45. It's okay to take that gun, not only hunting, but to kill innocent people. We've sugarcoated that from the very beginning, and step by step by step, we've sugarcoated things. Sugarcoated sin has got, the devil is in full control, I think, right now. I'm sure God is in here someplace, and I pray that God will open up the doors somehow, but I pray for our country. The gospel lesson for today describes one of Jesus' encounters with the tempter. The devil offers Jesus some harmless option. I'm going to read a little bit of it, and then we'll dissect it. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, he'd just returned from his Jordan River. He'd just come back now from being baptized. Had to be a very high time for him. And so he came and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where there for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those 40 days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Now, mind you, that's pretty significant, the timing, because Jesus' stomach had probably been growling for several days. He was hungry. And now Satan tempts him with a loaf of bread. That's kind of an insignificant temptation, isn't it? But it sure was a temptation. How did Jesus respond? Jesus responded by, you know, I'm sermonizing here now. I can see Jesus now taking his mind. You know, in the Torah, back in Deuteronomy, I remember these words. Sure as the world, I remember these words. It said, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. One does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up to show him an instant all the kingdom of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give the glory and all authority, for it has been given to me over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." Wow. To be able to have control of the world like that, that's kind of temptation. Again, Jesus remembered thinking back to the Torah. It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Smack in the face of Satan. And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command all his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up." That's made it into a song, didn't it? "So that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus, what did Jesus say again, going back to Deuteronomy? He said, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Now listen to the rest of this. "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until another more opportune time." That devil is always going to be around, looking for opportune times to take us, to tempt us. Always going to be looking for those opportune times. Those temptations were not bad. You know, if you take the temptation to turn stone into bread, boy, that could feed a lot of people. You see, that could just a whole lot of millions of starving people around the world. That would help if you could just turn stone. Man, my yard, every time I go dig a hole for my roses, I encounter a bunch of stones that I wish weren't there and could be turned into bread. If used properly, this bread-making power could provide a great humanitarian service. Jesus was tempted to choose that way. But he remembered the Torah. Or how about this? Accept the authority of all the earthly kingdoms. Another worldwide suggestion. with Jesus in control of the world's political, military, and economic power, disarmament would be swift, peace would be certain, and the equal distributions of wealth would be given. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But he was tempted to take it that way, and that meant an easy way. Or another way, Jesus was to serve as the Son of God, drive off the temple and dive off the temple and let God save you. This event would show that God can be manipulated to do what we want and be appealing as a message. The appeal of these temptations was increased by their contrast to the way God had chosen for Jesus to fulfill his mission as the Son of God. Jesus' temptations came just after his baptism in the River Jordan. The symbolic death of that experience where the sin is washed away as we baptized, that symbolic death had to come back into him now. Jesus surely was tempted to take some other way, easier way. Such temptations did not cease, for Luke notes that the devil did not give up, but chose to come back, wait for another day. I can't help but think again that those times did come for Jesus later on in his ministry, when things would come up and the disciples would want Jesus to not go into Jerusalem, but he would take the way and decide, no, that's the easy way to not go. I must go. Always these kind of temptations. As Jesus drew nearer to the pain and horror of the cross, the temptation became more intense. Such is the point of suggesting a controversial movie that I didn't like. I guess I have to say it right up front. I didn't like it. It came out in the 80s. The title of the movie was The Last Temptation of Christ. And the author portrays Jesus as being tempted even as he was hanging on the cross. The writer's Jesus imagined that what life would have been like had he chosen another way. And in his coma-like dream, Jesus gets married, fathers children, enjoys the company of friends, works as a kindly carpenter until he was a white-bearded old man. The dream concludes as Jesus is confronted by his disciples. They were decrepit old men. Peter degenerated from a rock to a sponge full of holes, it said. And the others were as spiritless men with bloated bellies and double chins. Long ago, they were given up the fight, and their destiny shriveled and meaningless. In their company was an angry Judas who bellowed out to the crucified Jesus, "Traitor, deserter, your place on earth is the cross. That's where you belong. That's where God Israel put you. But you've got cold feet, and the moment death lifted up the head of you, you decided you'd had enough." The rest of the disciples joined in chorus against Jesus. Coward, deserter, traitor. Jesus' dream was a horrible nightmare. His life had been wasted for the fall of temptation. He chose an easier way, and it proved to be the way of failure. The author of Hebrews brings us into this temptation experience of Jesus with these words, "For we have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus' constant temptation was to choose another way than the cross. Our temptation is similar, to choose an easier way than the way of the cross. I wonder how many times you and I have been in a position where we're ready to condemn, say, the folks who sit outside at the mission. I wonder if we'll get ready to do that if it crosses our mind. Someplace back in the Bible, I remained reading something. "You should not judge, lest you be judged." I wonder if when we talk about we see the hate that's in the world, I wonder how often we stop and think, didn't Paul say something about the greatest of these is love. I wonder if you and I are so familiar with the scripture that when we're being tempted to take the easier road or the lesser road, we call to our mind, we shouldn't go that way. The Bible tells us, go this way. Those temptations are always going to be there. It's up to us to be so familiar with our scriptures that when those temptations come, we can pull to mind. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't serve in the military. I've been told these, what do they call them? Stories where men soldiers in the, oh, Bob, those words. Men we in battlefield would recall a scripture or recall a song. That something would come up and they could recall that. Are we able to recall the scriptures in these times of need? All God's sons and daughters have crosses to bear, but we all have them. If we think we know people who carry heavy crosses, who don't carry heavy crosses, we really don't know them very well, because surely and undoubtedly the daily cares are there. The husband whose wife has suffered home with multiple sclerosis for over 20 years, a next door neighbor of ours not long ago. The parents whose daughter is plagued with severe mental illness. A young man who carries the weights of the friend who has no other friend. We have these people all around us, and we look at them and we smile, but we do not know the crosses that they carry. But under the strain and pain of our crosses, we are tempted to see Jesus as Jesus was. We wish for another way, an easier way. We say that there was meant to be a happier way for us to live as children of God. Some other way would make better than this. Instead of the acceptance of the crosses and the experiences, we long for an easier way. In the film I mentioned a while ago, Jesus awakens from his nightmare to define himself on the cross. He is relieved to, as we are, to discover that his uncrucified state was only a miserable dream. He was not a coward. He was not a deserter. He was not a traitor, for he was crucified. He accepted God's way. The closing words of that last temptation lift high the central cross. Temptation had captured him for a split second and led him astray. The joys of marriage and children and lies and deceit degraded an old man and shouted, deserter. All were illusions sent by the devil. His disciples were alive and thriving, and they were gone over the sea and land and were proclaiming the good news. Everything had turned out as it should. Glory to God. He uttered in a triumphant, it is accomplished. Jesus died on the cross. He was faithful to God's plan. He did not fall to temptation. Oh, that we could say the same for ourselves. Too often our crosses become too painful and we run from them. We fall to the temptation for its easier way. When we fail, our comfort is found in the Jesus who did not run away from the cross. He will bear our weight, the weight of our crosses. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. For the time of temptation will indeed come to us, and we cannot avoid it. Again and again, we will be tempted to stand and avoid another way of the cross. We may often fall to such temptation. However, we can be confident that we will not be destroyed by the temptations or by our failures. For Christ Jesus has declared God's victory over all temptation. His death on the cross establishes forever that love is more powerful than apathy. Sacrifice is greater than selfishness, and good is stronger than evil. Jesus' death on the cross proclaims that God's precious plans for his chosen ones will not be defeated. Christ is crucified. He is faithful, loyal, obedient. We are saved ourselves from the time of trial.